Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM. A River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click River Talk. You get you get Dimitri 5 days a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Dimitri live and dangerously local, Thursdays and Fridays. Dimitri awkward. Encore. Dangerous. Maybe it should be awkward now that I think about it. Yeah. And Thursdays and Fridays, Dimitri awkward and dangerously local. Of course, awkward could also apply to Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. All right, take two. Focus. You get Dimitri 5 days a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Dimitri live and dangerously local. Thursdays and Fridays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Dimitri encore and dangerously local. Whew. Stephen Novotny, 5 days a week, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, all right here. The River Talk Radio Network, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430, the audio path of totality. We're talking with Delegate Chris Anders. He represents Martinsburg in West Virginia, the state capital, and he is a Christian constitutional conservative, and he's not pulling any punches, and I think that is... great. So I'm sorry for being so tongue-tied and so scattered this morning, Chris. I hope your morning is going better than mine.
Well, it's been a beautiful morning so far. I have enough Mountain Dew in me to last for the day, so I'm pretty good.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought we had banned Mountain Dew in West Virginia because of all the color stuff.
Oh, they not yet. They did ban the dye, so I'm sure it'll be like Europe where it just won't be as bright neon green, but that's okay. I'm not a coffee guy. I'm a Mountain Dew guy in West Virginia. What can I say?
All right. Now, question. You're a Christian constitutional conservative. What do you think of Robert F. Kennedy trying to clean up the food supply here in West Virginia?
I do agree with that. I will tell you, I did vote against the bill. When it came through the state, because I'm all about, you know, freedom and liberty. And when it came to the House and voting for it, if it had been just banning these dyes in school lunches for kids, absolutely, I would have supported it. But when you start banning, you know, food that adults can clearly read on the label what's in there. Now, you know, I think people ought to be left alone. I'm not a big supporter of the nanny state. But at the same time, now that's being done on this federal level, I think we'll be okay. Because let's face it, we have 1.7 million residents. And you live, you know, up in the Willing area, and I live in the Eastern Panhandle. And I was talking to some of the retailers here, and they said, well, if just West Virginia did this, 70% of the products on our shelves we could no longer have, and everybody would drive to Maryland or Virginia to buy it. But now that it's being done at the federal level, hopefully we'll be able to, I think it's 2028 this goes into effect. So hopefully it won't just be West Virginia standing alone.
All right, let's go back to what we had mentioned before about solar and, of course, the windmills. There was a bill in Charleston that I thought was a slam dunk that would have essentially prevented people from being forced to subsidize the windmills and the solar power in West Virginia. And that failed. It should have won. I should have passed overwhelmingly, but it failed. What's the real story with that?
Well, I mean, again, we're back to the fact that, you know, there's 91 Republicans out of 100 in the House, or so-called Republicans, and we have 32 Republicans or out of 34 state senators, but they're not really Republicans. The vast majority of them are, like I said before, undocumented Democrats, and they run as Republicans, they govern as Democrats, and nobody wants to take on the big lobbyists because, now I don't have a problem with it, but you ever go to Charleston, you see state legislators who are making $20,000, $23,000 a year running around in $100 suits, and then you have these lobbyists for, you know, whether it's green energy or big pharma or the hospital association, and they're running around making $300,000 a year wearing $2,000 suits, throwing, you know, these campaign donations around like Easter candy. And, you know, they just influence so much, whether it's vaccine freedom, whether it's eliminating certificate of need, whether it's eliminating the new green pipe dream in West Virginia. These lobbyists are out of control because every single night in Charleston, there are free happy hours and free meals paid for by lobbyists. Now, nothing's ever free. You pretty much have to sell your soul to go to these things. I did not attend one single happy hour or one single meal funded by a lobbyist. I refuse to, because it, as it says in Proverbs 23, if you sit and dine with the ruler, note well what is before you. And if you're given to gluttony, put a knife to your own throat, because those delicacies are deceptive. And they're going down there. They're pressuring us. I remember when we were trying to get rid of the vaccine mandates allowed for religious and philosophical exemptions. I mean, my opinion, you shouldn't have to justify why you don't want to have these chemicals shot in your body or your child's body. That's your personal individual liberty, right? But as soon as that bill came up, you had all these lobbyists show up, Big Pharma and the hospital association. They brought out every medical student they could corral and put them in a white coat and just ascended on the Capitol, just demanding that we continue these mandates and be one of the only five states in the union. Think about this. One of only five states in the union currently that still do not have religious and philosophical exemptions codified into law. And that is, again, with this quote-unquote supermajority of, again, so-called Republicans.
In the heart of MAGA Nation, what are you going to do to get rid of this cancer in the Republican Party so you have real conservatives as opposed to Democrat light?
Well, we can do what we did this past session. Now, keep in mind that there's a group of us that are fighting really hard, and, you know, kind of in this Liberty Quote Freedom Caucus, and we're fighting really hard to expose that. Now, the way you expose it is you force roll call votes. You force people to go on record on these hard issues, and that's exactly what we did. We roll called everything. We got them on record. Now that we have them on record, it's up to the voters to do something about it, to actually see what these people are doing in Charleston and fire them and bring in real conservatives, because the legislature, you know, especially the House, is so far left of what, you know, the average voter is in West Virginia. Now, of course, because we force these votes, we're not liked. So we have a lot of big money corporations and big money lobbyists coming after us. So I'll be fighting for my life in 2026, trying to hold my seat, because, you know, I heard threats that even the speaker has said he would be willing to give $150,000 to anybody who ran against me, because I kept forcing these votes to get these undocumented Democrats on record so people can, you know, rip off, you know, the sheep's clothing off the wolf and see exactly who they are and fire them and get people who's going to go down there and do the right thing, to stand with the Constitution, to stand for freedom, to stand with the people, to stand against cronyism, to stop the new green pipe dream, and restore West Virginia.
Who are the worst ones here in the Northern Panhandle?
In the Northern Panhandle, I mean, one thing you do have is you do have Pat McGee in there in the Northern Panhandle, and I've known Pat for a very long time, and Pat has fought very, very hard. So he's probably, and I consider him a personal friend, he is a hardcore liberty conservative who fought very hard for many, many years. As far as the worst ones in the Northern Panhandle, mostly they tend to be centered around Wood County. We have a handful sprinkled throughout the state, some in Kanawha County.
Okay, Chris, let's go back to my question. Let's focus on the host's question. Who are the who are the problem ones in the Northern Panhandle? Give us names. You want the listeners to know who the problems are in the Senate and in the House. They can vote them out. Okay, who are they?
Up in the Northern Panhandle? I don't actually have one in the Northern Panhandle to be absolutely honest.
They're all that good in the House and the Senate?
I wouldn't say they're all that good, but they weren't the ones I was running into, like the Scott Heckers of the world, the Michael Amoses of the world. or, you know, some other ones like the Speaker and Matt Warbach, who's the Speaker pro tem. They were the ones that I was running into, and they're not in the Northern Panhandle. Keep in mind, I was on the Health Committee watching, you know, the train wreck that was a Health Committee. So I'm sure there might be some others who do have more information on the Northern Panhandle, but those were the ones that I was running into.
All right. What exactly happened in the House where they said they don't, they're no longer going to be subject to Freedom of Information Act request, no more FOIAs, they don't want to be bothered with that? What's the real story there?
That was a train wreck. That came out of the Speaker's Committee, which is called the Rules Committee, that the Speaker runs. And that bill, of course, I voted against it. That's absolutely ridiculous. So we work for the people. We ought to be transparent. That bill came out. They were claiming they were going to create their own rules for transparency, but that's putting the fox in charge of the hen house. There are many of us who were furious, who were slamming the red no button on that one. But it went to the Senate, and it thankfully it died. You know, I have no idea what they were trying to cover up. If, you know, one can only assume they're trying to cover up something. You know, and you got to wonder, you know, the bill came out of the Rules Committee, somebody in the Rules Committee trying to hide information, I guess. I don't know. But all I know is that thankfully died in the Senate. They killed that thing because, you know, we work for the people. We are public servants. We are not kings. We do not decree things. It's our job to leave the people alone, and the people should know exactly, you know, who we're officially talking to and who, you know, who our official communications with. I guess they might have been trying to hide something in communication with the lobbyists. I don't know. But either way, thankfully, that thing failed.
All right. What are we going to do to unleash the power of West Virginia specifically? Because you had touched on this earlier, that the high electric rates could be because of this, I don't call it a consortium or whatever, with Maryland and perhaps some other states where we're all kind of tied in together. Why doesn't West Virginia take the lead and declare energy declare itself energy independent, make it so that it is not linked to any other state when it comes to electricity? We have the coal, we've got the natural gas, we've got the oil. Why not just declare ourselves as energy independent so we're not linked to Maryland or Kentucky or Ohio or Pennsylvania or anywhere else, and that way we will get lower electric bills? What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I agree with that 100%. We need to do that. We also need to go ahead and deregulate our energy here in West Virginia. I mean, Republicans only took over. And by the way, we did have a Republican legislature for a brief period from about 2016 to maybe 2020 or so. And they got a lot of things done, like constitutional care and right to work and other items. But you know, we're rolling back, you know, 80 some years of Democratic red tape. And what they've been able to do now is to, you know, the Democratic Party smartly has convinced many of their members previously, hey, you can't get elected anymore as a Democrat in West Virginia, so just switch your party affiliation, kind of like Jim Justice did. You know, he just switched his party affiliation and then run as a Republican, because if voters aren't paying attention, they'll see an R beside your name and they'll go with it.
Yeah, so, but focus on the question about energy independence. How do we make this happen?
Well, first of all, we deregulate everything. We make sure that there are no subsidies going to green new pipe dream deals. We tell companies if they're going to operate within West Virginia, they can't charge West Virginia citizens for some obscene, insane green deal that they have in Maryland. And we need to get our coal fired plants up and running again. I mean, we used to lead the nation in energy production. We need to again, and thankfully President Trump is moving that direction.
What about Morrissey? Is he going to take the lead to make West Virginia energy independent so we're not counting on Maryland or tied to Maryland or any other state that can make our rates go higher? I mean, our rates should be next to nothing here. Why can't we take the lead for once and be energy independent, just lead the nation and say, we're going to do it on our own. We don't need to be connected with these other states that are going to drag us down.
Well, I mean, I know he's working that direction with the microgrid bill that just passed and he signed. which will allow microgrids. And we're not talking solar microgrids. We're talking natural gas and of course, coal. And you start creating competition that way because they can sell a small percentage of their energy production that don't just go to these data centers, but they're going to go to, you know, they can sell them on the open market. And you start chipping away at that. And then eventually what we'll end up with is a situation where we have real competition, because we all know free market and real competition creates a better product and a cheaper product. You know, government interference in the market always makes things more expensive. I mean, remember buying, you know, a television, or my grandparents buying a television for several, you know, $600 or $800 back in the '80s that weighed 1 million pounds. And then the free market kicked in, and now you can buy a TV that's twice as big for $89 at Walmart.
Yeah. So, and not worth watching a damn show. Hey, we're going to take a short, got to take a short break. I want to talk with you about this certificate of need repeal. That's coming up. More with our very special guest, Chris Anders. He is a delegate, West Virginia. He does not pull his punches. Good for him. He represents a part of the eastern panhandle of the state, and we've covered a lot of territory and more to cover, and stay tuned for that. Download the River Network app and then click River Talk. You get Dimitri 5 days a week. Dimitri, he's all you've got.